Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. Let us sing praise to our Heavenly Father in the words of hymn 207. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, oh, praise him, Hallelujah. Hymn 207. Asking Brother Andrew to exhort us, we're going to sing hymn 76. Beyond where Kedron's waters flow, behold the suffering Saviour go to sad Gethsemane. His countenance is all divine, yet grief appears in every line. Hymn 76.
Amen.
So it's now my pleasure to ask Andrew to give us the word of exhortation.
Thank you, Mark, and good morning, my brothers and sisters. I am going to die in a few days. Some of my friends don't believe me, or they think that they can avert the course that my destiny has to take. Some say, well, you might as well enjoy yourself while you can. But that's not what I was put here for. What should I do? Should I put my affairs in order? Well, I don't really have any possessions. I don't have any property. And even the little that I do have, it's already been decided how that will be distributed in my will. I will certainly take some time to pray and to meditate if I'm not interrupted. In actual fact, there's a lot to fit in the next few days. And the main thing I want to do and that I can do is talk to people, tell them how they can overcome the situation that I find myself in, because it will come to them all in time. Because we all have a hereditary disease. There's nothing that I or anyone else can do about that. But I have been told that my death will provide a means to enable millions to survive this disease, to have a way to overcome it. I've really got so much that I need to explain to people. I've told them before several times, but some of them just don't get it. One of my parables was about the king who invited everyone to a banquet, and the guests did not come. Some were too busy with their everyday lives. Some even mistreated the messengers that were sent out. And it's a parable not only pointing forward to a time to come, but also firmly rooted in fact. The message I have been sent out to disseminate is just such an invitation. But it's not to a simple meal, even a sumptuous feast. Rather, it is an invitation to a new life, a perfect life, an everlasting life. But is it something just so incredible? All the way through my work, I've been able to show people glimpses of what that life would be like, a life without hunger or without worry, without disease, and without death. All these problems will be solved, have been solved. Is it all too good to be true? Does it seem like there must be a catch? There's a maxim, isn't there, that if something seems too good to be true, then it probably is. You could view this as a cynical outlook on life, or a condition pressed upon us by the disappointments in this short, brutal existence, where too many people are just out for what they can get, lovers of money and lovers of themselves. There are just a few that are prepared to put their scepticism aside and believe that there could be something better, something great, something unbelievable, or at least beyond human comprehension. There were more, but they have fallen away. when things started to get difficult. So they just faded. For many are called, but few are chosen. I haven't been working all that long, just a few short years, but it seems that I've made a lot of enemies in that time, from all ends of the political and religious spectrum. They're always trying to discredit me, trying to maintain the status quo with their warped and legalistic corruption of the true message. Blind guides with trick questions. I say to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And no one was able to answer me a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question me any more. But I know it is my Father's will that I endure all these challenges. It's all part of his plan. I've tried to prepare my followers for the things that will come to pass, both in the immediate future and in the years to come. But I don't know how much they can take in. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver me up to tribulation and kill me. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. See, I have told you beforehand. I wanted to spend the Passover with my close friends. An upper room was provided along with everything we needed. And I tried to explain to them the real meaning of the Passover and how it would shortly be fulfilled in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Well, I tend to think that God has prevented them from understanding things fully because it would just be too much for them to bear. And there will be time enough for them to grieve later. Judas is going to betray me, I know that. But if I do not die, then mankind cannot be saved, and try as they might, the Sanhedrin cannot find anything to prosecute me with. I came to fulfill the law, not to replace it. So I took some bread and blessed it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then I took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. After this simple meal, I said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Well, Peter answered and said to me, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Oh, Peter, if only you could have stood by me all through my trial. A friend by my side would have been a great comfort. But you were not the only one to fall away. A lot of people think I'm quite unique, but I am still human. I've experienced the same emotions and concerns. And like anyone I would like to avoid the agony of a prolonged death. I've asked my Father to take this cup from me, but that is not my destiny, it seems. I'm grateful that I do have my friends around me, at least this far. But the strain and the pressures have taken their toll on them also. I've chosen at this time to come to this place because it's one of my favourites. Gethsemane is not far from bustling Jerusalem, but it is a peaceful, tranquil place among the olive trees. My friends are exhausted and can't stay awake. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen thus? Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against me to put me to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to me, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" Well, you couldn't really call it a trial, but it was another step I had to take in order to follow my Father's plan and bring it to fruition. As the prophet Isaiah wrote, "I was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so I open not my mouth." What is the worst pain you've ever experienced? When I helped my father Joseph, I sliced my hand with a chisel a couple of times. When I helped my cousin's fish, I got blisters from the ropes. But that was nothing. Nothing compared to the pain I have felt. The human body can only take so much. Having the crown of thorns jammed down on my head, and the beatings left me barely able to walk. And even that paled into insignificance compared to having nails slowly hammered through my hands and feet, and then being hoisted up to slowly suffocate. They offered me drugs to take the pain away, but I wanted to be fully conscious. There were many soldiers there, and officials and scribes and Pharisees all come to watch and mock me. All around us, scripture was being fulfilled, and yet they were blind to it all. I cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" But I knew that my God had not forsaken me. If only some would recognize the words, turn to the Psalms, and remember all the prophecies about my death, and understand at last who I am. And I'm going away now. And where I'm going, you cannot follow. But I have just a few moments to check that I have done everything that my Father commanded of me. Every prophecy has been fulfilled. So at last I can say, it is finished. Some people call me the Son of Man, some the Son of God, or the Messiah, or the Saviour. You can call me Lord and Brother. My name is Jesus, and I died for you.
Our memorial hymn this morning is hymn number 259. Lord, thy death and resurrection we show this day. 'Tis a tribute of affection we all should pay. Wine outpoured, bread now broken, of thy sacrifice the token. Even so, as thou hast spoken, we will obey. Hymn 259. Close this morning, we're going to sing anthem number 10, after which Brother Chris Farnworth will close with prayer. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Anthem 10.